Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
You can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear Him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Another chance for division. This is Wretched Radio. Oh, Jimmy.
Yes.
What did you think about the 6 bunker bombs being dropped on the Iranian nuclear facilities? Do you think the number of bombs was the correct amount to drop?
I don't want to talk about this.
Come on. Come on. Do you think number 6 bombs, was that the right number of bombs?
No.
Heretic. We're done.
No, we're finished.
It's all over, Jimmy.
I'm so
we
sorry.
We cannot have fellowship with one another. Hey, if that sounded exaggerated, I'm not so sure it was. Honestly, this is a hot topic, and I know temperatures tend to run a little close to about 211. It isn't hard for us to boil over. We have opinions about these things, but might I encourage us as we consider what is going on in the Middle East, specifically with 6 bunker bombs being dropped on Iran, that we do it remembering where this falls in the level of theological triage. Is it an essential? Can we agree? No. Is it a secondary issue? I would be hard-pressed to make that case. Tertiary? If we're talking about theological triage, theology, I'm not even sure this makes it to the third tier. In fact, it barely makes itself onto the list of theological issues at all. How does it get there? I think because we're dealing with the Abrahamic covenant. We're dealing with the promise to Abraham, the irrevocable promise that there would be a land, nation, seed blessing. And that's never going, that will forever be fulfilled by God because it was a covenant that he cut by himself. It wasn't quid pro quo. It was God's promise. Therefore, we know God has a plan for, I'm going to call it, the biblical covenant people of the Old Testament. You say, why do you have to labor so hard? Just call them Jewish people or Israel. Because I think as we heard last week between Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz, it just gets muddy. It's really mushy. We're going to post that presentation on YouTube tomorrow. I think it's helpful. I had a chance to listen to Al Mohler's, I was going to call it Breakpoint, but that was Chuck Colson. The briefing, right? It's Al Mohler's
That's it.
Briefing.
Yeah.
And he was talking about this subject. What should be the Christian attitude toward Israel? And it was basically the same as my opinion. So I'm glad Al's right on this one. And I think we played the John MacArthur response to the question, hey, how do we deal with what's going on in Israel? And I think that John's answer, can I call him John? His answer was on point too. But it's a little tricky to get your brain around. It isn't as clean, I think, as we'd like it, because you want to go, well, that's Israel. But what constitutes Israel? Well, there's currently a secular government that constitutes Israel. What is the promises in Genesis 12? It is toward a covenant-keeping people. So these are Jewish people of the promise of Abraham through Isaac. So we're talking about that theological entity, let's say, versus the political entity of Israel. Where's the overlap? Where's the commonality? And the answer is, it gets a little bit difficult. Now, we've already treated this subject, so I'm not going to rehash it. You can see the video on the YouTube machine. But today, knowing that this issue is just, can we agree this is a little tricky. Can we all have a little room for disagreement on this? Because we recognize, all right, so you define the difference between theological Israel and political modern day Israel. Go. And you're going to kind of, I think you're going to stammer a little bit. So what's the difference? So are any of those there? Are any of this, that? And it gets a little bit, now, please note, it's crystal clear in my mind because I'm a talk show host, but it's not that simple of an issue to work through and have really clear lines, which I always prefer over kind of, well, the point being, this is not an essential. It's not a secondary. I do not even believe it's a tertiary. In other words, let's not fight over this. Let's not split over this. Don't we have other things we could and should be splitting over instead of this issue? So now we are confronted with the question of the recent advancement of the conflict in the Middle East. America has engaged itself in the struggle. Should we have? Is that any of our business? Another opportunity for us to get mad at one another? How do we sort it? And interestingly, I think it falls underneath the same umbrella as the previous conversation. It's a wisdom issue. It's a wisdom issue. These subjects are complex. Now, we try to simplify as much as we can. Otherwise, you'd never make a decision. You couldn't possibly render a verdict if you consider everything, because it would just be turmoil in your brain. But I think that we need to recognize working through whether a nation should engage itself in military conflict is never simple. It's not always just that tidy. But I do believe we have some biblical principles that can guide us through it. This goes back to the days of Thomas Aquinas, who you have to admit, while he may have extrapolated some of this from the Bible, I think it's just well-informed Christian thinking. It's just war theory. Just war. Not as in only war. No, just. Is it justified? Is it righteous? Is it something that the Christian can affirm? And Thomas Aquinas, it depends on who you read, doing a summary of just war theory. I've seen a list go higher than six, but give or take 5 or 6 points. Let's go through those points, and then you can decide what your take is on the bunker bombs being dropped. And remember, if we disagree, I hate you and you're a heretic.
Thank you.
You know, I think I kind of completely forgot what I was actually talking about. This is courtesy of Got Questions, who did a rather pithy job of summarizing just war theory. Number one, a just war is declared by a legitimate government. Ooh, this could preach. It is not about individuals, vigilantes, squads of people saying, "Get them, boys!" No, it has to be a recognized governmental entity. Just war tries to bring a little bit of organization to what can be very, very messy. It's got to be a nation state. So it can't be even a rebellious group inside of a nation. It must be the authorized government of a particular zip code. Also, war, including the intention to attack, must be formally and officially announced before a nation engages in hostilities. Got to let them know it's coming. Why? Because it might stave off war. The goal in all of this is to not go to war. The preference is not to. Now, we see war in the Old Testament. We see it plenty. And we need to remember those commands to Israel to go to war with the other nations, to purge the nation for the sake of the Abrahamic covenant, should not be applied by us. But we do see some principles. War is never good. People die. People get hurt. People are separated from their families. Evil things happen in war. It ain't something that the Lord rejoices in, but he does clearly permit it. And there are times when he commanded it because it was right and just. So what made those conflicts right and just, but we can't take those principles and apply them because God told them to do this. Why? Because of the Abrahamic covenant, so that there would be a seed out of this peculiar people. God told them to go to war, and therefore it is righteous and just because God told them to do it, and everything he commands is right and good. Now, we do not have that sort of theocracy. It'll be nice when someday it is, but now we don't. And so we can't use Old Testament Israel to say, well, we can just go kill people, or we can just start waging war nilly-willy. No, we can't. Number two, it's got to be last resort. You got to try diplomacy. You got to try legal. You've got to squeeze them other ways, but war is not good. Have you done that? Number three, it's got to be a just cause. It has to be something that it's righteous. Now, here's the trick. I did a little research in my imagination, and I concluded there has never been a conflict where the party that started to wage war didn't think it was just. We always think it's just. The question, of course, is the current conflict righteous? We'll discuss that next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. Will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And together, we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You remember when you first discovered solid biblical teaching? It was the moment when the door swung open and everything changed in your life. What if we could fling those doors wide open for everyone, everywhere? Later this year, we're unveiling something unprecedented, and that's why we need you now, more than ever before. Through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled through our matching grant. Visit FortisInstitute.org/truth before June 30th, because truth, well, it was never meant to have barriers. FortisInstitute.org/truth. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. You know what's remarkable? Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, three of them in the top 2%. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Giffert, John Krotz, Libby Glosson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app, completely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org, because we truly believe the church deserves better. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to FortisPlus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Bread of Life. Just as God gave life to his people in the desert by providing manna, so Jesus gives life to his people through his body broken on the cross, which we remember in the breaking of the bread in communion. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Making the point perfectly, this is Wretched Radio. Oh, Jimmy.
Yes.
What number of Just War Theory do you think we're on?
Five?
Yeah, exactly. I know. Even when I read through Got Questions take on Just War Theory, they had 5 points. But even as I'm going through the article and dissecting it, marking it up for this conversation, I'm like, okay, which one is... Okay, is that one related? Okay, I thought that was a separate point. And you experienced the same thing.
I did.
This subject is, it's manageable, it's doable, but it does require a little bit of give and take. And it does require, I think, more time than just responding the way that we tend to respond. I'm telling you, we're all being GR, put two zeros there, MED'd. Because she can't use that word without it affecting something out there on social media. In that, you and I just, we see the headline, that's it. Seriously, I don't know why people write articles anymore, because most of us just read headlines these days. And that's enough. I got it. Or somebody that I like, somebody who's popular, they have a position, therefore that's my position. Well, Just War Theory requires more than that. It requires working through it holistically. There are so many angles to this. So let's continue to try to get the conflict in the Middle East unbefuddled. You render your own verdict. I'll render mine. Just War Theory, Thomas Aquinas. First one is, it has to be a government agency. Can't be a bunch of vigilantes. Or it, furthermore, it can't be a leader who disobeys the laws of the land. Let's, if it were in a country where they said you can never send more than 10 tanks for any reason without getting 50 people to sign off on it. Well, if the guy did it, then he's rogue and it's no longer a just war. Rules have to be followed is the stressor here. War has got to be declared. That's, Jimmy, you thought that was number two.
Right.
But that's underneath. It's got to be a legitimate government because, again, you can number these any way you want. So throw out the numbering system and let's just catch some of the angles and aspects of this. It has to be last resort. You got to try diplomacy. You've got to try sanctions because this stuff is nasty. I got to tell you, I remember watching, there's been a number of really good Winston Churchill biographies lately. I mean, within the last 5 years, maybe 7 years. And I couldn't help but stop and think, ooh, what must it be like to make that decision? And then I put myself into the shoes of Winston Churchill or an FDR. To make that decision, boys are going to go marching as to war, real war. They're going to die. Their bodies are going to be blown up. This should never be treated rather casually.
Yeah, bomb them. Let's just bomb them.
Well, okay, we might be justified in doing that, but it can't be indiscriminate. We want to avoid it. I honestly, even if I were the fellow that had to sign off on whether or not the nation were going to go to war, it would be so difficult to do, and it should be. So I think the Christian posture regarding war is, hold on. Have we thought this through? Is this legit? It must be fought for a just cause. Define that. What is a just cause? Well, it's what I want. No, that doesn't make it just. You might want that. You might want to take over that part of somebody's nation because that's where you like to go skiing and you'd rather not pay the tariff to go there every year. That just isn't just. It can't be justified in our own mind. This is from God Questions. The intended outcome of the war itself must be morally upright. Goals such as freeing people from death, freeing people from persecution. And wow, I don't know if you saw the bevy of stories this morning. Woofta. Over the weekend, the number of terror attacks on Christians. I saw Syria and Lebanon and Africa. They're burying our Christian brothers and sisters as we speak because of the Islamic terrorism that happens all around the globe against our brothers and sisters. freeing them from that, that would be just. Stopping another nation's conquest might meet this definition. Might. You got to know stuff. Do they really have those chemicals? Do we really know their intentions? Have they historically been a bellicose people? Have they stated what they're doing? Are they doing it in secret? Do we already know that they're plotting and strategizing to destroy a nation via A-bombs? Those are all variables. That going back now, what, 20-some years, this was the George Bush debate. And rightly so. Are they really going to try to wipe us out? We need to be able to say with not, you can't say with total certainty, but we need to be able to say, yeah, they're intending to do harm and this will stave off that harm. That might be a justification. A desire, however, to gain more land or to punish another nation for an insult, that would be an unjust goal. Number four, a just war seeks prudent goals. If it doesn't have a chance of succeeding, don't wage it. If you're a small island, you're not going to go to war against Russia. You're going to lose. And there's no point in creating mayhem and death and destruction. Likewise, a war cannot be justified unless its goals, even noble ones, are proportionate to its toll of death and destruction. Do you see why this is a wisdom issue? And do you see why we really want godly leaders in Washington to think these things through? Because life is at stake here. This is something that I think only a heart informed by the Bible can really wrangle through rightly. Even noble goals must be proportionate to its toll of death and destruction. Example, the goal of improving another nation's educational system doesn't reach that level. You can't engage in open warfare for that. You might think, hey, that's a really big deal. That'll promote human flourishing. And you know what? I agree with that. But that doesn't justify going to war because remember, somebody's sons and now these days daughters are going to be killed. And I know when a nation is stoked against another nation. I don't know that we have anything quite like that today, but I remember as a kid, it was Russia and the nuclear war and hiding underneath your desk. And you can be kind of like ready to go because of what you think is a perceived threat. But I can't let that stoking override criteria. Wisdom has got to be applied. Number whatever we're on, a just war uses moral means. According to just war theory, these noble ends or goals do not justify any and all actions to achieve victory. So we have to do it. There's got to be some rules of war, basically. The ends do not justify the means. War is restrained to proportionate levels of violence and does not engage in excessive or cruel use of force. Are you thinking about America's engagement over the weekend? How's America doing, in your opinion? This principle also requires making an effort to avoid civilian casualties, undue destruction, or actions that would unreasonably affect those uninvolved in the conflict. I can just hear a northerner and southerner discussing this particular point with the march through the South and the burning down of cities, which, by the way, apparently Huntsville, Alabama, did not get torched. A lot of homes there, the beautiful early 1800 homes there. It's magnificent. Nevertheless, moral means extends to details such as treatment of captured soldiers and civilians and efforts to reconcile after the conflict is over. Now, there's a sixth one that's not included here, and that is the terms of peace cannot be, well, I'll just say unjust. They can't be onerous. They can't be, well, like the terms of World War I. So oppressing the nation. And what sprang from that? World War II. Adolf Hitler found fertile soil to encourage people to be nationalistic. And in part, World War II was to escape the imposition of the treaty after World War I. So it has to be proportionate. It can't be vindictive. Just war theory acknowledges war is not a good thing. So there you have an outline. Perfect? No. But is it enough to help us work through this? I think it is. But is it enough to keep us from going to war with one another when we disagree on the subject? And tragically, the answer to that question is for some people, probably not. Why are so many of us on edge on these things, honestly? I get it. They're important. I do understand. But wow, could we perhaps put our weapons away, aimed at one another, as we discuss what nations are doing as they aim their guns at one another? And until tomorrow, go serve your king.